Blog Talk Radio. Another casualty.
Slacker is not on the phone.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We are starting the show.
Fellas in the house.
We are starting the show.
Oh, there you go. Uh-oh.
This Joker.
Dr. Dre, JQ, R4, we in the house. Talking sports.
What you been doing?
Rob.
Oh, that dude slides in home plate right ahead of the tag.
He did slide in home plate right there. Oh, man. It ain't nothing wrong. What's up, fellas? Man, we are talking sports with the 12th man. Shout out to the Dub Nation for the championship. That's what we do.
Oh, man,
a lot of love, man. So it's in the house, man. You know, the wifey, she actually flew out Wednesday to go to the parade, man. So she's out there having fun. So I'm glad she had a chance to see the parade, and a lot of love for her too, and be safe. So anyway, we are officially talking sports with the 12th man on this Thursday. Yeah, I am home alone, June the 15th, man. I'm like dancing, you know, whatever. It's a fun time, man. So it's all good, man. It's all good. Well, I still miss her, obviously, but you know, having a good time. So first and foremost, let me introduce my compadres. Let's start out with my boy, Mr. JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. I got a week off from doing double duty with the G-Braves, although I do love it, but also gives me a chance to get my thoughts together. I know you know. So, feeling good, man. Ready to talk some sports with y'all. I want to know what's going on with Rob.
we're about to check in. And congrats, JQ, too, man, because love the fact you had your highlight on there, man. That's exciting, bro. So maybe we got to post that to
appreciate
the page and everything like that, too, man. So you can definitely send that, and we'll post that, man. And it's always good to see what the fellas are doing, man. So that is what it's all about. Let's check in with just slide into the tag, Mr. Robert Ford. How you feeling, Rob?
Oh, man, doing great, man. Doing great. Ready to talk some sports.
You
cooking
dinner over there,
bro? Up a burrito or something?
I know, man. I know. Mm-hmm. That's right. You cooking dinner over there, Rob?
I wish I was. I am kind of hungry right now.
What you doing, bro? Okay. All right, man.
Putting in the nuclear codes, all I hear is ding, ding, ding.
That's exactly what they're
saying. Uh-oh.
Those are text messages.
You got the nuclear briefcase going down, bro? Okay, all right.
Evacuate.
I was going to say, for real,
actually, I was sending text messages to myself or my notes for the show.
Okay, whatever you got to do, bro. Hey,
if you must know.
I'll see you guys. Because, you know, just to let you know, because, you know, Shay may be listening in, man, and I just wanted to, you know, throw that out there, because last week kind of had an interesting point. So I just want to throw that out there, man. You know, it's with a lot of love. I know where I was at. So, you know, it was fun, and it was great times, too. So, anyway, a lot of love, man, to the fam. So, first and foremost, as always, kick out the numbers to the show. If you want to call in, share your thoughts, 424-243-9519 is always that number to call in. We're on Twitter, at the number 12. THMAN Sports. That's at 12th Man Sports. Last but not least, go to Facebook, which is facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you literally talking sports with the 12th Man, you will find us in that arena as well. All right, gentlemen, let's kick this off, man. I love the fact that Rob didn't give me any love for the championship here, man. So you know,
you a Hawks fan?
That was,
I thought you was a Hawks fan.
Right. Hey, what? I got Dub Nation the family, man.
Well, we
gotta
get
you know,
love.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I'm a Hawks fan.
I'm a Hawks fan. But, you know, the wifey, man, she's a Warrior fan, man. So, you know, I got, you know, I'm showing her some love, too, man. So it's good to have some championships in the house, man, you know. So also shout out to Middle Creek School for getting that championship, too, man. So that's what we do, man. So anyway,
if your wife was a Saints fan, would you be giving her a shout out for her team winning?
Oh.
No, heck nah, heck nah. But she's not a Saints fan, so I don't have to worry about that. I gotta tell you, bro. Me and you, man. We're gonna be LSU fans, man. Cause man, let's go all in. So I don't need you to give me all the updates. Cause that's our like training ground for the Falcons, bro. So me and you, man. You give me all the updates, bro, about LSU. I got you, bro. Me and you, man. LSU Tigers. What? Let's represent, bro. All right.
Until Ed Orgeron to stop tripping about the satellite camps.
Wow, man. I'm telling you, man. So anything about LSU, you keep feeding me because I didn't need all about the players, man. This is the training ground, man.
I'm loving it, man. I'm going to have to send you some purple and gold paraphernalia.
Dude, bring it on, man. So they just, like, literally come direct to the Falcons, man. So all the LSU Tigers, man, they're like future Falcons, man. So whatever you got to do, I mean, I'm all in, man.
That
so,
blue and gold
about,
you
wearing
is whack.
I mean, I'm still going to wear. I'm still going to represent Georgia Tech, man. But, you know, you got to have a team for the SEC, man. So it's all
this
good,
dude,
man.
Got about 25 things.
I'm a Hawks fan, man. I'm kind of joking on certain fronts.
Yeah, but can you give me the starting five for the 1975 championship team of the Warriors?
Let me see here. Without looking it up, I know it was
were you a fan when Trent Sprewell was coaching? There was choking coaches.
I remember, Billy Owens. I go back to Penny Hardaway. I can name – who else can I name on that squad?
Penny
Mitch
Hardaway,
Richmond. What else you got? No, Tim Hardaway. I missed Tim Hardaway. My bad, Tim Hardaway. I was literally watching that. But, Chris Mullins was there. Who else I got for me?
Mitch Richmond.
No. I did say Mitch Richmond. I already said that. No, he actually played for – back with Golden State, man. So
okay.
It's all good, man. So, yeah, man.
Run TMC.
Billy Owens?
That was a good squad. That was, yeah, I said Billy Owens. That was old school, too, man.
General by
okay.
Run
Billy
TMC.
Owens on his,
yeah.
That was a good squad, man. That was a good squad, man. Back in the day. Who was it? Was there like
they were entertaining,
Billy Owens
that's for
or
sure.
Something like that? Yeah, that was back in the day. All right, all good. Let's kick this off. Now, I mean, I'm kind of joking, but, you know, on the intro, man, you kind of get tired of losing. So I've been kind of through a rough stretch, man. So, you know, I'm going to show some love, man. So that was good. I'm happy for her, too. So she went a chance to, had a chance to go out there, and it's all good. All right, let's talk about this craziness that's here. Some veteran stars that can join the Cavs next season for a minimum deal. I'm kind of curious to see how LeBron is going to actually answer the worry. So so what do you got, Rob?
Well, you know what's interesting here? I don't think there's any combination for the Cavs to get somebody with their salary cap situation that's going to put them above Golden State. As much as I hate to say that, when you look at what's available in free agency and then you look at what they would have to give up an elite player, really, in order for them to really match Golden State, they really would have to add another elite superstar to their current roster without giving up any one of the big three. You know, trading Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony is not the answer. That's not going to put you above Golden State. And I think even getting Carmelo Anthony with the team that they have now is not going to put them above Golden State. So, I mean, that's – and then when you look at what's available from a veterans free agency standpoint, none of these players are going to put them ahead of Golden State. And you look at guys like Derrick Rose, not going to put them above. Nick Young. Good shooter,
but
I still don't know. Yeah. Leandro Barbosa. Nope.
He's done.
Manu Ginobili is not leaving the Spurs if he does come back.
And 48.
Roy Hibbert. Vince Young. I mean, not Vince Young, Vince Carter.
Vince Young
making a comeback.
Bars Diaw. None of these guys are going to be able to help this team propel Golden State. And we talked about it last week. Golden State was just in a good situation with Steph Curry's contract, allowed him to go out and get another big-name superstar. And then the other guy you can talk about is Dwayne Wade. But that's the reason LeBron James left Miami, because Dwayne Wade was so beat up, especially in that last finals that he went up against the Spurs when Bosch was falling apart and Wade was falling apart. And so there's not anybody out there, and in my opinion, the only way possible that they can propel Golden State. And I don't wish this, even though I hate Golden State, I don't wish injuries on anybody. And to me, that's the only way that they will be able to propel Golden State. There's just no way possible for them to make that happen with their salary cap structure.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. They got to find a way. Their best chance is to let that relationship in New York continue to get more toxic, and you peddle a couple first-round picks and Tristan Thompson to New York for Carmelo, and that would be that Phil Jackson is just desperate to get rid of Carmelo, and he's like, yeah, whatever, here, take it. You know, outside of that, and I still don't know if that's enough. I don't think it exists. I think he's going to have to take a break from Cleveland, make a break with Cleveland, so to speak. If you hear the reports coming out with him going to the Clippers and the Lakers, one of those two, I don't know if that's true, but I could see it being true based off of, you know, his outside of basketball aspirations. You know, being in L.A. would be a good spot for him. And then maybe one of those things where they worked it out and he's told, you know, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, wink, wink, y'all just sign for a little less, you know, and the Calvary is on his way. I don't know if that's the case. Could not be. But in Cleveland, can't see it happening.
Yeah, that's a pretty tough unless you have somebody that you're trying to, like, you know, groom or anything like that, or, you know, trying to – I don't even know what they have. I mean, you know, Darren Williams, that was not a great pickup, guys. He was old really quickly. You know, you didn't have the strong enough bench. I mean, Richard Jefferson was kind of holding on. Unfortunately, Kyle Korver didn't do anything as far as, you know, his shot wasn't that great. And they just didn't have enough firepower, man, which is kind of – you know, Channing Frye, same thing, kind of older guy. I don't know what happened with Dante Jones. James Jones didn't even see the you know, whatever. You have no bench, guys. So initially, like you talked about, I don't know what LeBron's going to do. Again,
you know what they can do?
Sort of. What can they do? What can they do?
The only thing they can do, and it's not a great plan, and it's a lot of risk involved. They got to basically buy some late first round pick or a couple second round picks from somebody the other team that doesn't have room on their roster to fit all the second round picks they're gonna have. You know what I mean? Like, they need to buy a couple, and then they got to hit on those second round picks and get younger and more athletic and let those guys just be bench guys, but, you know, just wreak havoc, kind of an up and down running gun, you know, wide open kind of offense, but not anything structured. But that's all, because those got to be cheap. That's why I say that. I don't know if you can do anything else, really.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark Price is not going to
be. I mean, you
could
make the case that Cleveland was competitive in those last three games. But, yeah, I think they still need a lot to be able to propel Golden State.
So you don't think, like, Carmelo's enough is what you're trying to say? Carmelo's not enough to give you, like, a little firepower or what?
Only reason I don't think Carmelo's enough, because he's not going to get it done on the defensive end. You know, I don't think he's been able to guard a statue since he's been in the NBA. And, I mean, he's just not going to get it done on that end of the floor. And I think that's where he'll be a liability. Can he help? Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
but I think they'll need someone in addition to Carmelo.
They're going to try to scout the D-League, try to find the highest scoring D-League player and try to make a deal for him, man. You watch and see how that plays out, guys. All right.
Yep,
this is pretty interesting, guys. Let's talk about the NBA draft that's coming up here a week from, obviously, next week's chopping out that. And there's a couple names, a couple of rumors I've been hearing. This is actually concerning you, JQ, man. And I don't know if you heard about the workout with, you know, your boy Ball, man. He just came to the workout out of shape.
And
I don't know if that's a good sign. That's kind of terrible, man. So I know we're going to let Rob kind of dive into that too, man. But I don't know if you want to have anything about that, because then – word on the street is that who's that guy? Jackson is the second guy? Good. God, I got to put my draft in here. There's a guy that they were
Jackson,
him. They brought him back in. Yeah, good. I know you had him going three, but this is going to be interesting. And they brought in your boy Fox. I mean, this is going to be interesting. So I don't think it's sort of guaranteed like we thought about Ball, but, you know, obviously Magic brought him in for a second opportunity to kind of like make that first impression again. But JQ, tell me a little bit thoughts, and we'll let Rob kind of expound on the draft too. But, you know, in spite of that, I know you heard some details about that as well, sir.
I did, and I was happy about it, because I maybe will dissuade them from picking him. I've heard them trying to trade back as well, because if you want Ball, I feel like, you know, his dad has kind of painted other teams into a corner where I think you can trade back and still get him, because I don't know if anybody's going to be over the top about picking him. Before the Lakers, they traded back from like 2 to 6 or something like that. But what I heard another interesting one, and I think it's one they should pull the trigger on, even though we said they should wait. Given what they have on their roster now, I would trade the second pick to Indiana and see if I could get Paul George and see if I get that second pick and maybe somebody else, but maybe not, you know, one of the top ones to them to get George. I mean, you can float it out there, or both first-round picks this year to get Paul George, mm-hmm. because if you can do that and not touch the core of what you got and add Paul George to it, it's not enough to beat the Warriors, don't get me wrong. But it's enough right. to have other people signal it to them, like, oh, okay, now they've got George with that core, and those guys, to Ross' point about being on contract-friendly, you know, terms with your young players, you have that ability to add another max star, near max star to there, if not this year, then next year. So it's more about if they do that, building the foundation to getting other people to come there, but it definitely doesn't put them over the top. But I saw that about Ball, and it just it let me know further that I don't need that dude on my team. And I think they're trying to find a way to drum up interest in that second pick, either for George or to move back and see if they can accumulate some more assets.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts, man.
Well, if Indiana is willing to trade Paul George for those two first-round picks, I think if you're the Lakers, I totally agree. You got to pull the trigger on that because you don't know for sure what you're getting with that number two pick. It's still going to be a crapshoot. Ball could be a bust. Fox could be a bust. I mean, we don't know. I mean, I don't think they will be bust. But you know, Paul George is a proven asset, and he's going to play both ends of the floor for you. And you know, you can have he and Brandon Ingram and some really good, long, athletic wing players for you. And obviously, if Indiana is willing to make that move, I say if you're the Lakers, you got to pull a trigger. Now, obviously, if the Lakers stand pat, I think Fox is going to be in play here. I mean, I still think right now it's Ball. I still think Ball is the guy they're going to go with. I don't think it's going to be Josh Jackson, even though I think Josh Jackson has the potential to be a really good player. But I think he's going to be very similar to a Brandon Ingram. And I think it's going to be Ball or Fox with Ball still being a favorite at this current time for the number two pick for the Lakers. I have Fox going number four. To Phoenix at the moment. And not a whole lot of changes from my mock draft on last week. Just a few, not a lot of changes. And we'll get another update here soon. I still have Jason Tatum going number five, Sacramento, Malik Monk, six to Orlando, Larry Marketing, seven to Minnesota, Dennis Smith, eight to the New York Knicks. So that's just a little teaspoon of what we have at the moment.
Right. Let me ask you about the player.
Of course, Markelle Fultz still going one to Boston.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Let me ask you about Jonathan Isaac. What do you think about his potential? Because they've been comparing him to a kind of mini Kevin Durant, and obviously what he did. You know, that's I'm sure he's kind of shooting up the draft boards as well. So anything about him? He's a 6'10" small forward, power forward from Florida State. Any details about him?
Well, he's got a similar body type to Kevin Durant, long, lean. He's about 6'10", but he's only about 210 pounds, so he's going to have to get stronger for the next level. Obviously, he doesn't have the shooting ability that Kevin Durant has, but he's got great – he's a very good athlete, and he's also an elite defender as well with the long arms he has as well. So, I mean, he's a guy – initially, I had him somewhere going about 6 or 7. Right now, I have him going 9 to Dallas, so I did drop him down a few spots. But definitely a player – who has some potential to be a really solid player at the next level.
Good deal. Anything else you want to add to that, JQ? So you're saying there's a chance. So you may be right that your boy Ball may not. I mean, like you said, I mean, there's still some definite he's got to make up a nice, you know, but I agree with you, man. You can't be coming in like freaking like not in shape. And that's a huge red flag if you ask me, man. So I don't know.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Just me.
No, me and you both.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good deal. All right, poor JQ is like, see, there's a chance he wants no part of that nonsense, but it's all good.
None.
All good.
No part.
I guess as far as the draft, too, I'm excited because I know now that we're kind of getting, you know, there's been, like, a lot of interesting talk and everything. I know we've been having, like, I know the Hawks here, we've been having a lot of guys come in, and there's two players that they had us really, like, bring in for two businesses, Justin Jackson. Rob, do you know anything about him as well? They got the 6'8 small forward from North Carolina. Getting my own personal scouting report about him.
definitely not a player that's going to be a superstar in the NBA, but he can be a solid role player for you. I mean, the one thing you did see at North Carolina in his 3 years there, he got better each year. He really got better with his outside shot. Really has become an elite defender, runs the floor really well. I think he can be a solid fourth or fifth option either in your starting lineup or could be a decent role player for you coming off the bench. But the good thing is, like I said, he's got decent athleticism. He runs the floor. His shot has improved tremendously, but he's not going to be a superstar in the NBA level.
There's no superstars that you think in this draft right now, or what do you think? You think Wes is the guy that'd be a superstar, or what?
I think there are some guys with superstar potential in this draft. Absolutely, I just don't think Justin Jackson is one of them. Fuchs, of course, I think definitely has elite potential. Lonzo Ball, I mean, if he gets in shape, Josh Jackson, De'Aaron Fox, Jason Tatum, I think can be an elite athlete in this draft. Lauri Markkanen, I think, could be a sleeper, a guy that's got Dirk Nowitzki kind of abilities. Dennis Smith, I think, is a sleeper as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are some guys that I think has superstar potential in this draft. Now, we'll just have to see if they're going to be able to achieve that kind of success.
We'll see if we're talking about this draft 2017, about some players here and what happens with that too. So, you know, again, we're excited about that coming into next week. So we'll keep an eye on that as always. And, yeah, very exciting. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about this next story about Jerry West. I know we're going to spend some time talking about the Lakers' potential draft picks. So good deal. You know, JQ is probably salivating about that and the potential about LeBron too. So what's up with this story about Jerry West, man, joining the Clippers, Rob?
Well, he's going to be joining the Clippers in a consulting role. Obviously, from a basketball operation standpoint, Jerry West has been one of the best in the business in the NBA for quite some time. And Doc Rivers, as we all know, has been the head coach and the general manager. So I think this is a kind of a role for West to come in and help Doc Rivers in a general manager's position role. And I think also to try to help re-recruit Chris Paul to stay with the Clippers. Jerry West has been one of the best closers in the business in the NBA for a long, long, long time. So he's going to come in there and try to be a salesperson to Chris Paul and see what they can do to try to build his roster. And, yeah, I mean, Chris Paul right now is highly considering, considering leaving the Clippers right now. Multiple sources has confirmed that. I mean, the Spurs are in the mix. Obviously, the Spurs will have to make a trade to make it work. He's also planning to visit with the Nuggets and Houston Rockets as well. He's strong. We've said this on the show plenty of times. The Clippers roster as it is today, he's going as far as he can go with that roster. Blake Griffin can't stay healthy. If it's just him and DeAndre Jordan, they're barely going to get past the first round. Maybe you can get to the second round. They have gone as far as they can go with this roster. Chris Paul, if I'm not mistaken, is 32 years old, wants an opportunity to win the NBA title. He's looking for that opportunity. And right now, you got to put yourself on a team with at least three or four stars at the shot.
Calm down, Stephen A. Smith. What do you think about that, JQ?
Yeah, no, that's what it is. And he took the words out of my mouth. And you got to remember that, you know, Jerry West is a South California guy. And I think, you know, he was still in California, but he wanted to get back closer to L.A. And it's another challenge. And I think this is great for the Clippers because it helps relieve some of that pressure on Doc Rivers. I think if this works out, he's basically going to be the GM, but it allows Doc Rivers to save face as being the GM without getting all the hit, you know, moving forward for making some questionable moves. So I think for that, if I think Doc Rivers is all for it, I think he's going to lean on and probably defer to Jerry West on a lot of things, given Jerry West's, you know, background and history of success in that role as a GM. I know he's just a consultant, but he's going to basically be the GM. Let's not kid ourselves. I agree. I just from a Chris Paul standpoint, you know, you do that, Thomas was closed, and from what we talked about earlier, you just, you know, maybe he's plugged in a little bit more than we think Jerry West is. Like, you know what, I know y'all are homeboys, y'all talked. Listen, let's you stay here. You know, we're going to let Blake, like you said, we're going to let Blake go. And then let's see if we can do a sign and trade for him for Carmelo or – you know, spend a pick or so for Carmelo to get in. Then we look up and say, okay, 2018, we're on the cusp. And now, you know, he's looking around like, oh, well, two of my homeboys is there that I talked about, I wanted to play with, then in that LeBron it is. and then he goes. So I think it's about building the foundation, rightfully so, to keep Chris Paul, but also to recruit moving forward and alleviate some of that pressure from Doc Rivers.
Yeah, that's a good call, man, because I was going to say, like, if you look at the Clippers, I mean, and think about this, gentlemen. They used to always be the laughingstock back in the day, man. I mean, they used to have all these number one draft picks. I mean, and for them to
happen.
Yeah, remember, oh, I was going to say Michael Owen Candy, the fact that you brought that up, man, they used to always have those top picks. And, you know, it's like they finally dug themselves out of that, and they started making some progress, started winning. You get a Chris Paul, and you kind of change that franchise. But they still haven't kind of, like you said, you know, made it over that hump yet. So, you know, you thought you were getting something with Blake Griffin, and, you know, he's kind of fizzled out and for whatever purpose. And like you said, Rob, right now, you know, Jerry West has got to – he's got to do some type of filling Shaq overnight, man, to get a player in there, man, because I don't know what's going to keep Chris Paul there, man, unless he does something, you know, magical, man. So, you know, like you said, right now, you got to keep him happy. Because if Chris Paul does leave, that's going to definitely change the dynamics of the Clippers. And then, you know, wherever he lands, he's a, you know, like I said, he's going to be a great addition too, man. So I don't know, man. You talk about that's a great topic. That's a new challenge. That is definitely a challenge, man. So we'll see what he can do from that potential. All right.
Chris Paul, listen up, Chris Paul. If you're tuning into our show tonight, if you're tuning into our show tonight, Chris Paul, listen up. You want to get with two All-Stars? You got two young big men in New Orleans, Anthony Davis, Boogie Cousins. Get you a couple of shooters.
Boogie's crazy.
You can get to the Western Conference Finals, dude, if you're smart, Chris Paul. Listen up. I'm telling you.
I knew what I was headed.
Rob making pleas for Chris Paul, man. I don't even know, bro. All right. Hey, man, you know, he can always go to Cleveland, man, you know, pee that missing piece, man. Him and Kyrie.
May not be the Warriors,
but
you can at least get past that. You can at least get the Western Conference final, possibly.
That's true. All right. Actually, you know what? I do think it's intriguing about San Antonio for sure, man. I mean, that's a team that,
yes,
that has a lot of, you know, Kawhi, you know, Marcus Aldridge, even though he didn't have the best finals. You know,
yeah, he was a bust.
Think about
the playoffs
for sure, man. So hopefully, you know, you can have a little something-something, man. That's a scary squad no matter what, man. So anyway,
yeah,
keep that in mind. All right.
And the thing you're going to consider with the Spurs, I mean, their track record, Greg Popovich's track record too. So, you know, it's not just the Kawhi Leonard factor and a LaMarcus Aldridge factor.
Yeah.
You know he's going to have a solid bench as well, and then you're going to have good coaching too. And so there's a track record there that could, you know, put him at least over the hump to get to the Western Conference Finals, which he's yet to experience.
Yeah, I mean, like
that's
I said, the two squads, the Spurs is a good fit, and, you know, also the Rockets, even though we'll talk about that. So that's another good potential too, man. But again, you know,
I personally don't think he's a good fit for the Rockets.
I mean, that's what I was going to say, because, you know, I was thinking that, you know, Harden is kind of a, you know, more of a ball-dominant guy, but, you know, like I said, that's going to have to be something to think about. But, you know, again, the Spurs is a good look, man, but, you know, again, it depends if you look at the star power, you know, that's where you can go, but I don't know. All good. I don't want JQ to go too crazy here. Talk about these potential draft picks right here for the Lakers. I don't know. Do you want to talk about this, JQ, or you want Rob to talk about this, man? It's kind of your call.
I mean, I talked about it briefly before. I just don't want it to be Lonzo Ball, if I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I don't want that sideshow. I don't think his – he could be a star, but he has to be such a megastar to overcome that. I don't want my Lakers to become a bad reality show. And if you put the Ball family on there and Lonzo is you know, it basically becomes a reality show about what LeVar is doing today. And then Magic had to bring him to the office and yell at him. Like, you know, it's like keeping up with the Balls. Like, I don't want that for my Lakers team. I really don't. So I know they're in that room, and Dan, you're right. This is job interviews. You can't come in out of shape. I mean, I know he was hurt a little bit towards the point of last year, but he's had time to get it together. I don't know why you would do that. I also agree. Josh Jackson is just too much like Brandon Ingram. So there, it's one of those things where I feel like outside of Fultz, I think it's going to be a stud. I really do. I don't know if anybody I can just say that about. So you're sitting there at two, like, okay, what do we do? That's why I'd be looking to unload it for a George or somebody else, you know, that could bring in or move back and then pick up some more capital. So if I miss, at least I picked up some other capital in the draft. I worry about them in two and taking ball. He's going to have to be so good to overcome all the foolishness, unless LeVar has a change of heart, which I don't think is going to happen. How do you overcome that? You know, you got people going to be trying to kill you just because of something your daddy said. You know what I mean? Like, you can't – that's hard to overcome 82 games out of the year where people were just gunning for you because of that, to make sports on it because they did this to you to shut your daddy up. Like, that's a lot to have to deal with on the court as, like, a 19, 20-year-old in L.A. I just don't know if he's going to be good enough to overcome that.
Wow. Go ahead, Rob. What are your thoughts on this? Is JQ kind of on that right pulse, or is like this talent kind of oversee the craziness, man? Oh, man.
Well, I do think Lonzo Ball is Magic Johnson type of player, Magic Johnson's type of point guard. So I think it's going to have to be something. It's going to have to be something really bad for Magic Johnson to tear away from him at this stage. And it's still possible. I think.
It's called LeVar Ball.
I would say it's 80% ball right now, and it's 20% chance that it's going to be De'Aaron Fox. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But I agree with JQ totally. If Indiana is willing to trade Paul George, I think if you're the Lakers, you got to pull the trigger on that.
I agree with that.
Because there's a really good chance that he wants to stay in Los Angeles. He's from the area. He's going to want to stay there. So you take that risk, and you know, because this is a crapshoot still with this draft pick. You never know what you're going to get, and then you got the late second round pick. Right now, I haven't taken Wesley Iwundu, a swing man from Kansas State, at the 28th position. But you got some other players. You got Dwayne Bacon from Florida State. I think could also be in the mix down there. DJ Wilson from Michigan, JQ's favorite school. PJ Dozier, guard from South Carolina. But if you draft a guard early, you probably won't go in that direction. Ike Emeagwu from UCLA, drafting another Bruin there. Could be in a mix, possibly give them some physical presence. Another guy I like from Cal, Ivan Rabb. So he's another guy that could possibly be in a mix. You got Donovan Mitchell from Louisville, Justin Jackson, UNC. So those are just some guys. I think Kyle Kuzma has kind of moved up in the draft, big man from Utah, so I don't think he'll be available at the 28th spot. But those are just a few names that I think the Lakers are going to be considering with that 28th spot, depending on who's available.
I like that kid from Kansas State. I like that kid.
Yeah,
he must be an idiot, though, to be able to ball like that and go to Kansas State. That means he's got problems. Come on, man. I've seen that dude play in the tournament. He was single-handedly carrying Kansas State in that playoff game to get them into the tournament. I know who you're talking about, and I'm sorry. I mean, I would like him at 28 because of the talent. But you cannot tell me that if you got that kind of talent, you just be like, you know what? I'm going to Manhattan, Kansas. And you put that hat on. I'm just saying, that didn't happen. I just don't believe it.
Maybe he thought it was Manhattan, New York. Maybe he didn't know.
maybe somebody gave him the old 1-2. The Manhattan, woohoo! Kansas, woo!
I'm just saying, if you see me play, that dude can play. You just don't choose Manhattan, Kansas.
He is a tremendous athlete, too.
Maybe he kind of grew that, JQ. That's what I'm thinking about. He was kind of like one of those late bloomers. That's what I think, honestly.
Negative.
I'm trying to like keep it going. No, but I was going to tell you, man. So if you are you're okay pretty much with you know, if you say, hey, here is Paul George for your draft, you're good with that, bro?
Absolutely, because there's only 15 positions on the roster. So you talk about those two, and I think they don't have the second round pick this year. So you're talking about fitting those two in. And like Rob said, it's a crapshoot. If you're going to give me Paul George, who's a proven, you know, commodity in this league, and he's from L.A. and has already made it be known in NBA circles that he wants to be on the Lakers, absolutely. So I can acquire his rights and give him that contract. And like I said, it's a tool to get other players to come as well with him and that young core. Absolutely. If I walk away, if you tell me that on next week that we draft the air quotes Paul George, I am going to be fist pumping. I'm going to get me a PG-13 jersey for sure.
You not get you a ball jersey, bro? Come on, man.
Then you stop and you can move on to the next topic.
I was going to tell you, man, really quick, he's similar to Brandon Ingram, man. That's not a good pick for the Lakers, man. He's too similar to Brandon Ingram, man. So, you know, I don't think it's a good pick for y'all, man. So, there you go, man.
Yeah, okay.
No, that'll be a good look, man. You guys definitely get some showtime. Now, the only thing you got to worry about Paul George, seriously, with that JQ, is the fact that maybe, you know, I don't know what type of rebuild the Lakers are in, so he may want to win a little quicker. That may be your only challenge, honestly, you know. So, if he's cool with that.
Yeah, and these dudes all talk, so, you know, the thing about it is this is the day age. You have no idea. Well, they're all cool, and you have no kind of idea what kind of conversations they've had on text messages on their highly secure phone. This thing has already been played. Like, that Miami thing, we were like, yeah, okay. They put that in motion at the Olympics, and they followed through when they got the chance on it. You know what I mean? Like, so a part of it is such this black box where they could have already put these things in motion, and we just don't know. And then we find out, you know, a year and a half later, and they look at each other like, yeah, we do, but, you know, now you know.
Yeah. All right. Cool enough. All right. Let's talk about this. And speaking of, you know, folks talking, is LeBron talking about leaving Cleveland to form a super team in L.A.? That would make JQ 100% excited too, man. So, Rob, what are your thoughts on this one? Oh, man.
I personally don't see him leaving Cleveland anytime soon. I think right now he just want to make sure that Dan Gilbert continues to have the gas pedal down and willing to spend money on improving the roster. But I personally don't think he's planning to leave Cleveland anytime soon. He just wants to make sure the owner understands that, hey, you know, in order for us to catch Golden State, we're going to have to do something. We're going to make some kind of miracles happen. We're going to have to spend money. And he just wants to make sure that Dan Gilbert has the gas pedal down and ready to open up his pocketbook to somehow improve that roster. But I don't think he's going to the Clippers. I don't think he's going to the Lakers. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. If anything, I think he's going to do all he can to try to see if he can get him some more help in Cleveland. And that's going to be extremely hard the way they're strapped right now.
Go ahead.
It's the flip side of that is him winning that title in Cleveland has bought him God status to bring Cleveland finally a championship in the last 50 years. And knowledgeable fans have looked at and know, watching that Golden State team, like, you know what, I get it. There's going to be some people that's going to be mad. Don't get me wrong. But he's already made one tough decision. So for him to make another tough decision to leave again, look at the landscape, I think it would be easier for him this time than it was the first time, to be honest, on the heels of giving Cleveland a title. If they hadn't won a title, I don't think he leaves. I think he would take his last step trying to get them a title. But the fact that he got them that title, that monkey is off of his back, I think. I'm not saying he's going to leave Cleveland, and it could be a ploy to do what you said, to get them to open it up and do whatever it takes to catch that Golden State team. But if over the next course of this year and you're looking at it like, you know, and everybody's looking at it like, you know, they have no chance, and it opens up where they've had these conversations and players go here to open up the space, and they're like, yeah, you know, come here, we'll take less money to make this happen. I could see that happening. I really can.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he can leave.
Oh. I don't think. If he does, I don't think it's any time. It's probably toward the latter part of his career. But I don't see him moving, definitely in the next few years. I don't see him leaving Cleveland.
Yeah,
but I do have two questions for you all. Number one, has LeBron lost a step? And number two, how many more years will he play?
Go ahead, JQ.
I think he's lost a half a step, and I think part of that is just due to mileage. You know, from 18 and all these years making these deep runs, you know, Father Time is undefeated, and it's going to catch up with you. You only got so many full-court sprints, chase down blocks, jumps left in those knees. What he's got to do is get a back-to-the-basket game so he doesn't have to initiate all his offense from the top of the circle and penetrate down to the bucket. He's got to find a way to get on that block and use that Karl Malone build and get him two moves, one go-to move and one counter move. But at 32, playing since he was 18, yeah, I mean, it's inevitable that he would have lost a little bit of it. I think he probably plays – I don't think LeBron's going to be one of those guys to hang on. You know what I mean? I feel like he's established enough of a brand that he can do so many things once basketball is over. I can see like 37. I say 37. I can find more years.
I was thinking the same thing, 5 more years. And, yeah, he's definitely lost a step, man. And, again, not knocking him. He's still, you know, one of the greatest players. So, you know, it's just kind of – you said it 100% correct, JQ, the fact that, you know, he's been playing since he's been 18. That's a lot of basketball, man. That's a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's probably –
Well, he's made it to eight NBA finals, and he's talking about the Olympics he's played in.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
He's played a lot, man. That's a lot of basketball. So you got to think, and, you know, like, so he hasn't had a really serious injury, you know, yet either. So, you know, he's still on the cusp of it too, man. So it's just, it's, you know, he's got about 5 more years, I think. I 100% agree. Go ahead, though, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I totally agree with you. I don't think he's lost a lot, but I think there may be a slight loss. You know, I mean, he did just come off NBA Finals where he averages triple-double, so it's hard to say that he's lost a lot of his game, but I do think you can see it a little bit that he has lost a little bit, and as you mentioned, Father Time is slowly, catching up with him. And I think, you know, there are a lot of, you know, people talking about where he takes a lot of games off during the season. And you got to look at the mileage on him. Michael Jordan took a year and a half off to really kind of, refresh a little bit. But this guy's playing 8 NBA finals, and he's going deep into the Olympics quite a few times.
Yes.
So, you can definitely see it.
I mean, and also, guys, let's be honest, man. Anytime that you're wearing a Cowboys shirt, man, you know that you know it's going to be tough, man. So, you know, let's just keep
that
up
for
2 minutes.
Oh, that was right there, yeah. I had that. Wearing the Cowgirl shirt.
I'm sorry.
Just a bandwagon there. I was like, come on, LeBron, man.
I'm sorry, Leonard. My Cowboys fan, he's not too happy with that comment, too. But it's all good, man. All right. But, no, like I said, that's some definitely good conversation to talk about. And like you said, I am curious to see what's going to happen in the off season because, and guys, if you're an NBA team, are you kind of like, you know, are you kind of looking at the future? Because before, you thought that you had an even shot to kind of like catch up. That's what free agency was supposed to do. But now it's almost like you already see what's up there. I mean, can you dethrone, you know, the Warriors, the Cavs? I mean, what are you gonna do? I mean, if you're like Portland, you're like, man, you know, outside looking in, Washington. Outside looking in. I mean, you know, we got to talk about that in a quick second. We got about 2 minutes here. We're getting ready to go to the OT portion. I want you to think about that, set up the OT portion, and then we'll kind of dive into that, and then we'll talk about some college football and some pro football as well. So go ahead, Rob. Get ready. We're getting ready to jump to the OT portion. You can do that, sir.
Thank you all for tuning in tonight. We greatly appreciate it. We're getting ready to go into the OT portion of our show. Unfortunately, we cannot give you that portion of our show live. But if you click on the same link on tomorrow, you get to hear some great college football. Oklahoma Sooners fans, we're going to talk about your team. New Orleans Saints fans, we're going to talk about your team. Kansas City Chiefs, last Baltimore Ravens, we're going to talk about your teams. So definitely tune in into the OT portion. Next week, we're going to be on the air. What day, fellas?
I think we're going to Thursday.
Thursday, right?
Thursday. We're going to be sticking to Thursday. On next week, we're going to be on the air Thursday night. On next week, it's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. By our friends in Hawaii, aloha. That's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Good night, people. We look forward to you all tuning in on tomorrow for OT portion and joining us next week. Good night.
That was the quickest sign off, man.
Yeah,
go ahead, JQ.
Ever. Yeah, he cleans up in that one. I implore you, Magic Johnson, please, for the love of everything that is holy. Do not invite that circus to L.A. Don't do it. Please don't do it. I appreciate all of y'all for tuning to the podcast, downloading and listening to the OT. We're just going to ignore the fact that he just threw the Saints in there for whatever reason.
I don't see you complaining about us talking about the Lakers.
No, but at least it's topical. That's why. We ain't talking about just to talk about.
Come on, man.
Let's always go Dodgers.
Somehow the Lakers make it on the show a lot more than my Saints do.
I don't know about that. You writing the topics? You writing the topics, Rob? So, right? You know what?
Hey, but you know, I'm fair.
Okay. All right. I don't see any Falcons stuff in there, but, you know, I'm not talking too
much.
Man,
we talked
about
y'all stuff this year, too.
Well, I'm just, it's topical. It's topical, and we can talk about it, too, whenever we get ready to kick off the season, too. So, all right, we're pushing the OT portion. So, anyway, let's keep this moving here. And I love it, JQ. JQ was like, for the love of everything holy, do not invite that. again, like you said, I mean, your boy is trying to do everything in his power, and that's ball to mess it up, man. So I'm kind of with you, though, man, in that regard. But Rob has always been pretty right, man. So like I told you, man, it's like 80%, bro. That's a pretty high percentage.
I'm not saying he's wrong, but I can hope until they say with the number 2 pick in the draft, the LA Lakers select. I can hope up until that exact moment that Rob is wrong. There's a hope.
I'm receiving text messages saying thanks for talking about the Lakers because the Lakers rock. Oh man,
is that Roger?
Is that Roger?
That's Roger, isn't it? Okay,
no.
That's Robbie. He loves some Kobe too.
Me too.
That guy.
Yeah, I think they got something going on.
No, he really loves
him. Yeah, no, I know he's on another level. He is next level. He has gone Super Saiyan 3.
If Kobe had something, he'd be all there signing the shoe. I don't even know. I don't want to talk about dudes like that, but it's kind of scary.
Man. Yeah, anytime Kobe come to Atlanta, he's one of the groupies.
I almost spit up my water on that one. Oh man. All right. let's keep this going. He's like, oh man.
So you signed my nipple.
Now this is officially can't be replayed on the big time. I love it. I forgot to ask, where's your boy Mike at? Speaking of that, is Big Mike around? What's up? Where's he at, JQ?
No, he's
Big Mike.
Mike is a stone cold hoops player. He plays in the league like early in the morning, like 2-3 times a week.
Okay.
So I think tomorrow he's hooping in the morning. So he went to bed. We didn't hang out tonight.
Okay, gotcha. All right, let's get some. Let's kind of fulfill what Rob said. Let's talk about some. Oklahoma Sooners, football. And you guys know that I don't have anyone to make fun of anymore, Oklahoma. It's still early with your boy, with Lincoln Riley here. So I guess the question is, will he be successful? And, I mean, I don't think he can mess up too much stuff right now. Maybe that first, second season, he may be fine. You know, we'll see about year three. You know, you don't want to mess up the toys that's been given to you, but – I guess we'll see that. So I'm gonna leave it to you. Start with you, JQ. Will he be successful at Oklahoma?
The thing about it is, it depends on how realistic they are. Because you say the toys, but real quiet, like Oklahoma lost a ton to the NFL draft on both sides of the ball. You talk about a Piron, a Mixon, a Dee Shepherd. I mean, they've got Baker Mayfield, and you know they've recruited at a decent, you know, high level. But it's really, will Oklahoma be patient and give him a chance to put his imprint on there? And try to get it moving and take it to another level, because they kind of have plateaued here recently. So I think he could. I think he's a very dynamic offensive mind, but he's also got to get out there, and they're going to negatively recruit against him. You know, Bob Stoops left. Mm-hmm. What's this guy going to do for you? You should come here. Like, he's got to fight all that, kind of like a Kirby Smart, you know, following a Rick and not and being unproven. You got to fight through that and be able to get those recruits and put your imprint on that university and that program. So it really depends on how Oklahoma deals with it. And I was talking to somebody else earlier. You know, you talk about a lot of the Big 12, you know, they feel like they're going to dissolve like every other month or every 6 months. And you look at them now, no longer with, you know, we talk about Bob Stoops for all of his faults, but he's a stalwart in that conference. Now he's gone.
Yep.
You know, so you're looking around that conference and it's like, you know, you got a lot of hope on Lincoln Riley. You got a lot of hope on Todd Herman. You know, Bill Snyder can't coach forever. He's only got a little bit of time left. Mike Gundy, is trying to make that dabble step, you know what I mean, to put his program into another upper echelon. But you look around now, that Big 12, and it's like, how fragile are they? So will they be you know, patient with Lincoln Riley, or would they succumb to that, trying to make sure they keep it together and become that, you know, the leader of the conference and say, oh, well, after this year, it's not what I needed. And then some hotshot assistant or coach comes free and they go after him real hard. Like, that's, I think that's in play. And I think you can't rule out what's happening with the Big 12 that may influence their decision about how long of a leash they give Lincoln Riley.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, well, I think obviously I'm sure the, you know, Bob Stoops left it to set him up for success. And so I think he's going to have every opportunity to still succeed. And it's Oklahoma. I mean, right now, for the most part, I mean, you've had some programs in the Big 12 conference to come up as of late. But I think when it comes to the dollars and cents and who's going to have the facilities, who's going to have the money, who's going to be able to go out and recruit, it's still Texas and Oklahoma. And so he's going to have the tools to help him to be successful. And I'm going to say I think he will. I mean, from an offensive standpoint, I mean, he does have Mayfield coming back this season, even though he's lost a lot of other positions. I expect him to still be somewhat successful under Riley going forward. And you know, we'll see how long the Big 12 stays intact. But I think for the near future, I think he'll have he'll be set up for success in Oklahoma.
Hold your horses,
we'll
there, buddy. I understand.
We'll
that. That's right. This is the thing. I mean, again, everything is there, but there is no guarantee, my friend, because this guy, he wasn't like he wasn't a previous head coach, you know. So he was just the offensive coordinator. So now you're the head coach. You're delegating. You got to worry about defense. You got to worry about recruiting. You got to worry about a lot more things, you know. So I definitely, I'm not saying he's gonna like fall off the cliff, but it's a better situation.
Jimbo Fisher wasn't
people,
a previous head coach either.
You know what? And but see, he was being groomed. He was under. That's tough. I mean, you know, obviously he was under Bob Stoops, and you know, I like to take shots at Big Shot Bob, but I'm just saying that there's not a lot of a guarantee too, because you know, it's kind of like he's a young guy, and he can grow into that too. But I'm just saying, like right now, he may stumble. I mean, later on, but for now, as Jake, you mentioned, you know, you lost a lot, so this is gonna be pretty big for him to prove. You know, he wasn't like a Tom Herman. He wasn't like, you know, coming from that too. So. You know, I'm going to give him, like I said, just, it's going to be tough, man. So, you know, there's going to be some growing pains for Oklahoma, too. So.
It depends on, that's what I said, it depends on the lease. So to Rob's point, they're a blue blood. It's Oklahoma. Will they be patient? And that's my only thing. I'm not saying he can or can't do it if not given a chance to do it, right?
Definitely.
But they may panic. And that's what I'm saying. You may not get what Lincoln Riley can really do if they panic and say,
you
said.
Yeah, if he starts having a season.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. If he hits that rough patch, are they going to be like, oh, he's young? Are they going to be like, boop, we're out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what you got to worry about, too. So he might start off fast. He may hit a little rough patch, and then you got to really worry about what's going to happen. So that's what I'm saying. So, you know, there's no guarantees, man. It's a big job, man. All right, I've been delaying it long enough, man. So, yeah, what about your boy Adrian Peterson, Rob? Damn it.
Well, I mean, obviously the Saints are really raving about him tremendously. I'm going to take the philosophy. I'm from Missouri. You're going to have to show me, because the early part of last season, I didn't see much from Adrian Peterson. And, you know, obviously – Minnesota offensive line was struggling, and I think that's what the Saints' approach is. You know, he's going to be able to be a downhill runner from him. The team is raving about him, saying he's in great shape, still the same Adrian Peterson. But I'm going to take the approach as, hey, I'm from Missouri, show me.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, this ain't nothing but glorified flag football right now. So, yeah, it's real easy when you ain't getting popped. To look great. So, I mean, listen, I think we all like and respect Adrian Peterson, what he's done in this game. And, you know, I know Rob's a Saints fan. I'm not a big Saints fan. So, I mean, you don't necessarily always want to see him just
I'm
go
sorry
nuts.
To hear that.
But, I don't know, that pain of mine. But the thing about it is that I don't root for him to fail is the bottom line for it. Like, I like Adrian Peterson as a player. I don't want him to finish up like he did, being injured and being ineffective for Minnesota. But I'm with you. I take a wait-and-see approach to when the live bullets start flying and see what happens.
I'm not a Saints fan.
I'm hoping he's successful and they turn the team around. But like I said, I don't want to get too excited about what's happening when nobody's in pads. Show me.
You know what, Rob? On a serious note, I will say this. The only thing I worry about is your coach, man, if he really will utilize Adrian Peterson to run the ball more, because I know he likes to pass the ball, man. So that's my thing, man. So I don't think he really fit that style of, you know, being that pass catcher out of the backfield. So, again, you know, first and second down, I mean, you know, we'll see. I mean, that's just me really being objective.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, like, throw shade. I'm just really worried about if he can incorporate him in that, because that offense, because you know how Sean Payton likes to do. So that's my
thing. I agree. But I will say this. The Saints' best offensive year, they were a really good running team, too. When you look at the Super Bowl season, they were the sixth in the NFL in rushing. And
really
to me, and the 2011 Saints team was better than the Super Bowl team. 2009, when they just fractured all offensive weapons, offensive stats that year. They were an elite rushing team. They were an elite passing team. I mean, they were throwing for almost 400-some yards and rushing for 200-some yards a game. And so, to me, those, to me, were Sean Payton's best two teams. And I really believe the 2011 team, they had the same record as the 2009 team, but the same record got them a 3-seed in 11. And but his really elite teams were really good running. They were quietly really good running teams too.
Gotta have balance.
All right, and that's your Saints talk for the night. All right, so we're on a really quick note. We got 4 minutes, guys. Let's talk about this really quickly. In the fact that whenever you put this point about Jeremy Maclin, I thought this was like a joke, man. I thought it was like Friday, man. You getting fired on your day off, man. He actually. Mm-hmm. Got a call that said, "Hello, yo, voicemail, you got cut." They didn't bring him in. That's kind of shady, man. If you ask me, man. So
that's cold.
Go ahead about this, Rob. Yeah, that's pretty cold, man. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, the NFL stands for not for long, and it's a doggy dog business. And obviously, you know, Andy Reid was at the man's wedding 2 weeks prior to calling him to tell him he's getting cut.
There's got to be more to that. He's like, "Yo, man, just don't come back here. Let me call you to come." I think he was calling to pick up his stuff. "Yo, come up and pick up your stuff, bro." That's what it seems like, man. You know.
That's awful.
I don't know.
Yeah. And Maclin had a down year. He only had 2 touchdowns last season, you know, battling some injuries. I still think he has something in the tank. We'll have to see. The Ravens desperately
hope
not at the receiver position. But I still think he has something in the tank to help that team. The Ravens definitely need help at that position. So we'll see. I mean, he can be a quality deep threat if healthy. Obviously, if is a big word, but we'll see. The Chiefs, you know, Tyreek Hill was a big surprise for them last year. Third-round pick came in and did a lot in the return game.
More touches.
And threat game from the wide receiver position. But I think it came as a huge surprise to the football world to see Jeremy Maclin get cut.
Did you watch the
Rams
stuff, guys?
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Jake. No, go ahead, Chief. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you got Kelsey, so, you know, you're moving, and Andy Reid is about running the ball. So a run-control kind of offense with Kelsey and Tyreek Hill. But for Andy Reid, as long as you've known that dude, going back to your Philadelphia days and to your appointment is when you owe it to him. Tell him face-to-face, like, you know, coming from up top, we got to save some money here and there. We got to let you go. You can't call that dude and leave it to him on his voicemail. That's just wrong. He owes me more than that. I know it's a business, but come on, man. That's just some shady shit.
I agree.
I don't hope Maclin has anything left from a selfish standpoint because I got to see him twice a year. But I think he does, and he's getting a big-armed quarterback that can say go deep, and then you can't outrun my pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That might be really good for him. With Flacco, and Flacco has his warts, but that dude can throw a deep ball. He's got a cannon.
So
we'll find out if he can help that team. But yeah, you can't leave that dude no voicemail.
Yeah, it's all good. All right, Rob, in the show, man, we got about a minute here, so do your thing, man, and we'll get ready for next week's show.
We ended the show, finished all the topics right on time, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be on the air next Thursday. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central. For our friends in California, congratulations to the Golden State Warriors, even though I hate y'all team. We'll be on the air next week, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And in Hawaii, It will be 5 p.m. So definitely tune in on next Thursday night. Good night, people.
Come on, Magic. Do the right thing. Come on, Magic. Do the right thing. Don't draft that guy. Hey, man, I appreciate it as always. Fun conversation. Thank you, everybody, for downloading the podcast.
Magic, right? I'm talking to Chris Paul.
Right. Come on,
we all put our calls
let's,
in.
Let's have a heart-to-heart.
Oh, man.
And everybody that's listening, if you haven't checked out that Lakers Celtics 30 for 30, do it. It's worth your time,
yeah.
Even if you're not a fan of those two teams. It was awesome.
Yeah. Man, I was going to say Paul George from Atlanta, but he's from L.A., man. So I don't have anybody to try to reach out to, man. I'm trying to build my time machine, go back in time and get and draft Chris Paul number one. That's my thing, man. So we'll talk about that as always. But anyway, gentlemen, it's been
fun. Y'all had the number two pick that year, man.
I don't want to keep talking about that, man. You know I'm, like, amped up about that, but that's a whole other conversation, man. But anyway, it's been fun. It's been real. Gentlemen, sharing this field of battle with you guys as always, man. Until next week, and I was going to say this about your boy Jeremy Lackland, too. Did you watch the Rams thing really quickly about the Rams and how your boy called, whenever he called the quarterback, said, hey, that's the same thing, man. You got to leave. He called him and said, hey, man. It's been nice working with you, but you're not coming back, man. So that's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah,
that's tough. Man. Just kind of like a random call, man. But at least they had a relationship. But anyway, all right, guys. See you same time next week, guys. See you, Chris, out.
Yes, sir. I'll let y'all.
People.